Welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Thank you so much, Mark, and thank you for checking out this podcast at HoustonTexans.com. I'm Drew Doherty. On Tuesday morning at Reliance Stadium, General Manager Rick Smith talked about the Texans' 2010 draft and their preparations for it.
I guess applauding the efforts so far of everybody in the organization. I think our scouts and coaches have done an excellent job again of evaluating the class and assessing our needs and our team and where these guys can come in and help our football team. So I feel good about our process. It's good that we have some consistency and people understand the process, understand what's expected of them, understand how the process works and how it goes. And so it's been a good series of meetings so far.
In each of the last four drafts, you drafted guys who started. You expect your number one pick to start this year?
I think from a philosophical standpoint, you should. I think the first rounder is a guy who should come in and impact your football team and be a starter. I think you should also look to add starters in the second and third round, and maybe they don't start as fast or impact your team as early as, say, your first rounder. But I do think I think that should be the expectation, first round, second round, third round. And if you can find depth or, players who have either, a physical attribute late in the draft, in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, but, maybe they have something that's a redeeming quality from an athletic standpoint and or a football playing perspective standpoint, that they have a chance to ascend, to that level of player. I think that's what you look for, later in the draft.
Last year, y'all, with the addition of Smith, Pollard, Cushing, you got meaner and physical, more physical, and Quinn on defense. Gary says he wants to get more physical on offense and improve the running game, which leads to being more physical. How do you feel about that, and what can you, as overseeing the draft, do to make sure that happens?
Well, you can talk to the guy sitting behind you for me. Then that might help us out on the offensive side of the ball in terms of running the ball and being a little bit more physical. But I do think, and I think you mentioned those players. I think we added dimensions to each level. And I've said this before to our defense last year. You mentioned Smith, up front, and Brian Cushing at the linebacker level, and Bernard Pollard and Glover Quinn in the secondary level. So we added dimension. We added that physical presence, throughout the defense last year. And so if you can continue to do that and on the offensive side of the ball, not only I think, it's my opinion that if you can add a physical presence, but also playmakers, guys who can make plays with the ball in their hands are the way that that's how you win in this league. And so we look to add, smart physical players, competitive players that are passionate about football and enjoy playing a game. And are strong and will get after you as well. So that's the type of player that we look for across the board.
Rick, you feel pretty confident you'll pick at number 20? What are the chances you think you trade out of that pick?
That's what we do now. We're I'm on the phone and I'm talking to a bunch of different clubs about the possibility or the potential of moving. You never know. You can't really predict that. So you've got to be ready to pick if, in fact, the phone doesn't ring. Obviously, we've moved back before, and I've got some experience and some history doing that in the first round. And so we're always open to those possibilities. But we do feel like if we pick at 20, we're going to get a good player.
Rick, can you give us an idea of how many players you have worked out and or interviewed to prepare for the draft?
It just depends on what you mean by that, Mark. I mean, if you put the entire process into play with respect to all of our scouts and coaches and everybody who's working on this process, it's hundreds, and obviously, you go to the combine and there's 300 or so guys that you're interviewing and talking to, and then you've got the opportunity to bring a certain amount of players in, to your facility, and we've done that and take advantage of that. So, I mean, it's hundreds of players. I mean, this is an exhaustive process, and it should be. And we like to be diligent and thoughtful in our preparation, and we like to think that we are thorough. And so that means that you talk to an awful lot of people and you gather a lot of information. But the thing that's important is that all of the information that you gather, you've got to have it organized so that it leads you to a decision. And I think our process is productive that way, because I think we amass an enormous amount of information, but I think we've got a process that kind of hones us in and drives us to good decision-making.
Rick, how deep is this running back draft, and does your philosophy change at all in the kind of guys you're looking for, running backs or linemen, without Alex Gibbs here?
No, it doesn't change. You know, I think that, you know, and you know, I think there is a and we talked about this maybe in Indianapolis, John, in the press conference, about the ideal back that you look for. I think there are ideal physical characteristics that if you could draw a player up, then you would want height, weight, speed, mental, physical, football characteristic. There are things that you look for by position, and then there are varying degrees of you know, how many of those attributes guys have. And so you talk about, in theory, a big physical running back, for example, who's got the size and speed and the cutting ability and, you know, all of those things, or is he a third down back, or is it an offensive lineman who is a lighter guy who fits in his own scheme, but he's not a powerful blocker. You know, I think what you've got to do is you've got to look at and evaluate each player individually, and then as you look at the scheme that you play, as best a guy can fit into that scheme, you know, those are the guys that you target. And so that's what we do, and that's what we're trying to get accomplished. And, you know, so from an overall standpoint of the type of players that we're looking for, we haven't changed philosophically because Alex is gone. We're looking for the same kind of guys. And, again, most important thing is their football character and how they play the game.
Rick, we ask this every year, but can you go over your philosophy on need versus value again, and coming off a 9-7 season, does that change since you think maybe you're only that one guy away?
No, it doesn't change. I think you've got to approach the draft consistently. And I think, you know, what we believe is that you assess value and you set your board and you assess where you think guys can come in, where you think their value ranks, and you assign that value to them by round. And if you hit the home run, I've said, you know, oftentimes the home run is if you can fill needs on your football team at the corresponding levels of value, then you hit home runs with guys. And so, but you don't reach because you might need a position. And I've also said, you know, that you can't always solve all your problems in one draft or in one, you know, off season. And so you've got to have a long-term approach. And if you have that approach, and you stick to your value, I think it bodes well for you over the long run.
Rick, with the increasing amount of 34 fronts that offenses have to face now, and you see Pouncey and you potty up the boards, is the league starting to see, are they starting to change their philosophy on interior linemen and their value in the first round at all? And has it changed for you guys now, considering how many 34 fronts you now have to face?
Yeah, I don't know if you know, the 34 defense has been around for a long time, and so I don't know if anybody's changing their thought process or their philosophy. I know we're not, and so to speculate what other folks are doing, I don't know that we're not. Yeah, and again, it goes back to the earlier comment with respect to the ideal player. You know, so, you know, ideally, even in a zone scheme, you want a big, strong, physical guy. Now, it just so happens that you want him to be able to bend and cut and do all those kind of things. So it doesn't change the kind of guy you look for. You know, you're still looking for the same guy that fits your scheme.
When looking at cornerbacks, what is it that can separate someone like McCourty from another corner like Kyle Wilson?
Well, it's all the things that you look for, whether you are talking about physical attributes and you know, so the first thing for a corner is typically speed, his hips, how well does he transition, does he get stuck coming out of a break, can he play the ball downfield, you know, does he have long speed? So all of the things that you look for, you know, whether it's a corner or any position, you know, I think the thing that separates guys, you know, the things that separate guys are you know, the same physical attributes that you look for, and to the degree that a guy can execute and perform those things relative to his position better than the next guy is really what it boils down to. It's not real complicated.
Rick, the off the field character issues, that, you know, the whole Roethlisberger matters coming in. No one said football players were saints, but is that, other than Eric, does that play more into the what you're looking at with these guys, and because it's going to be more of a point of emphasis by this commissioner year in, year out?
No, character has always and will continue to be important to us. It's something that is very important. And again, the reason, as much as anything, is the fact that, in our opinion, if you've got a guy that's a quote-unquote high-character guy or who does things the right way, okay, then this is a pressure-filled situation here. Football and these games and this league, it's hard. And when things are hard, people revert back to what they innately are. And so in the fourth quarter, when it's the toughest point in a game, it's our feeling that a guy who does things the right way, who is a good person and a hard worker, and football is important to him and passionate and all those things, he will execute in those crunch times better than the other guy. And so it's not just what he does off the field, because I think it's also important from a football character standpoint what a guy does when the pressure's on. And we just feel like those guys are more apt to execute and perform properly than say another one might.
Rick, going into this year's draft, do you have a different mindset compared to last year with the CBA and the work stoppage looming over this season?
No, not at all.
Rick, with Dante gone, do you feel you need a more physical cornerback, or with Glover here, more of cover?
I think, again, you've got to be able to cover in this league, and you like the guy who can cover and run and change direction and is also physical. So you look for, again, the ideal kind of guy. But I don't think him leaving impacts us, and we have to go get a particular kind of guy. We need a guy who can play. You
know. What about a guy who can intercept some passes with your strong side linebacker and strong safety leading you? How much importance do you put now on, like, ball skills?
Ball skills are important. I mean, at any position, because again, we go back to making plays on the ball. So I talked about that on the offensive side of the ball, where you look for guys who can make plays with the ball in their hand. You know, conversely, on the defensive side of the ball, if you got guys who make plays on the ball and have good ball skills and can come up with those turnovers, I mean, you know how valuable turnovers are in this league and in this game. And so if you can find players who have ball skills and who can go and make plays on the ball and turn it over for your offense, I think, those guys are very valuable.
They say this is great depth at corner. Why is it such good depth? What is it that stands out about this class of corners?
I don't know if anything stands out. I just think that, and it may be just a product of college football. There's so many teams and leagues throwing the ball around a lot. And so you've got to have, if you're going to have some success in college football, you've got to have guys that can cover and play. And maybe that has a little bit to do with it.
Because they throw so much, wouldn't they be developing more pass rushers than they are in college?
I would imagine that that's a logical.
But they don't. They don't. They, you don't see a lot of big.
I think it goes back to what Lance was talking about. You know, it's there are a lot of undersized defensive end / outside linebackers. We saw that last year. We see that again this year, because that's just a product of the systems and the schemes that folks are running in college football nowadays.
When you look at your drafts since you've been here, when you grade yourself out, kind of how do you? Like what you've done, and kind of what kind of philosophy do you change a little bit and adjust?
Well, I think I'd like them all to be starters and Pro Bowlers, and so we're falling short that way. But I think if you look at it realistically, what we've tried to do is we've tried to continue to build a football team, and I think we've been successful in some respects and not so in others. And I think that, you know, what you've got to continue to do is to, you know, I think what's important during the offseason more than anything is to really have a good understanding of, you know, where your football team is, what your needs are, and how can you go about, you know, filling those needs. And I think when you look at our drafts, and you want impact players, and you look at our drafts, I think we've been able to, you know, to do that and build our team. And then depth is another issue that you try to do. So we've tried to do that, and we'll continue to do that. So I think, you know, I think our philosophy is good. I think our process is good. I think our personnel is good. I think we've got good scouts, good coaches who understand the scheme. And, you know, the thing that you know, it's the yin and the yang. We're very comfortable because we've been together for some years. So everybody understands the rhythm of the meeting. They understand what they're asked to do. They understand what we're looking for. And so as a leader, it's my responsibility to make sure that everybody continues to have a heightened sense of concentration and awareness of what we're doing, because the natural tendency is to maybe get a little bit comfortable, and so you don't focus as much. And so I think we've done a good job this year of continuing to focus, and I think our preparation has been good, so I expect us to have a good weekend.
Rick, I know the last 12 games of the year, you guys were one of the best rush defenses in the league. But does that preclude you from looking at the nose tackle position, since you kind of had Sean Cody playing out of position a little bit? And also, can you talk about what you look for in a nose, one gap versus two gap, size versus quickness?
Yeah, he's got to be able to, he's got to be able to run. We like the big guy. Again, the ideal guy is a big, 300-plus pounder who's strong and can hold the point. But also can get off the ball and get after the passer. And a lot of times you're not going to get pass rush from a nose position. So really the elements that are most important, is can he anchor, can he play, can he stay on his feet and run and stay in, and maintain the integrity of the defense from a gap system standpoint. So those are the things that we look for.
From watching film, how effective is Ryan Matthews at letting his blockers get downfield and just remaining patient in his run style?
What I don't do is evaluate or really talk about individual players until afterwards, and so I probably should maintain that consistency.
Because you guys are supposed to make the playoffs, can you afford to take a developmental guy? Specifically, a lot of fans are asking, would they draft a quarterback high and develop him? And considering where you are right now, would you consider that, or are you looking for contributors?
No, I think, again, it all depends on where in the draft you're talking about, from a developmental standpoint. But I do think that if again, we go back to the conversation or the thought process of what do you do? Do you take value or do you take need? And so if you have rated your board and you are in a position where you don't have a player of need, but there's a value and a guy might have some potential to develop, you take him. And you work on it, yeah. And then you work him into what you're doing. But if the guy can play football, you take the football player at the right value, as opposed to reaching for somebody at maybe a need position. And even though you don't necessarily need that position at the time.
From the time you get here Thursday, can you walk us through what you do? Explain what you got in your war room until you're through at the end of the day.
I'll start the day, with the. The draft starting, late in the afternoon, early evening. I'll start in the office and probably we'll spend a good deal amount of time on the phone talking to clubs and again, all of the prep work, before it starts, and then just making sure that if there are any loose ends with any questions on any of the guys that, we talk with the coaches and the scouts to make sure that, all those questions are answered. And then, we'll move down to our war room, which is downstairs, the main player player meeting room. And in that room, we've got all of our players, coaches, scouts, players, not any players, Eric, you're not invited. All of our scouts and coaches and medical people and support people. And so we're there and that's where we kind of, we run the whole thing, and we've got, all of our information and boards and, everything that we need to make those decisions down in that room.
You think there'll be many changes the way you teams approach this, because you're going to have more time with these rounds?
Yeah,
how will it affect with
I think your decision? What you might see is I like the fact that you get a chance to regroup a couple times, after the first round. And so you may see some activity a little bit more, early in the second round, maybe. As teams regroup, Thursday night and say, well, we had this guy rated as a first rounder. He's sitting there. Maybe we make a move to go get him. And maybe the same thing happens at the end of Friday night, a little bit more. So you could potentially see some more. I think it's great for our league. I think the draft is such, as evident as here, it's such a big deal. and has, you know, so much interest for our league and for our game. So I think it's a good thing, and I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be fun.
Could you talk about where you're at right now at running back with Steve? How's he progressing? What did you think of Arian at the end of the year?
Yeah, you know, I thought he did an effective job. I thought he showed some flashes of ability. You know, he's a bigger back and did a nice job for us there at the end of the year. You know, Steve has had success, you know, before on the field, and I do think he's doing fine from a physical standpoint. You know, we've got Jeremiah Johnson, we've got Ryan Moser, we still have, you know, Chris Henry. So there's some guys that are there. You know, when you talk about, you know, Steve and you talk about the limited amount of, you know, success that Arian had at the end of the season last year, you've got some guys that you think have some potential.